Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
One of my favorite books to teach out of. I'm ringing just a tad, Brother Joe. Just up here, I feel like I'm ringing just a little bit. But I love teaching out of this book because I love teaching and talking about the importance of God's Word in our life. If for no other thing, the scripture that tells me that I am born again by the Word of God, and can't see or enter into the kingdom without being born again. I need the Word of God. And so it's so important in our life. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways, and I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And, today, I want to put a title of this. It would be Living Out God's Word. Living Out God's Word. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you this morning for this wonderful word. Thank you for the blessing it is in our life, for the faith it gives, for the promises, for the hope it instills in us. Lord, we just thank you for all of that today. Let us hear what you would say to us today. Let it challenge our hearts, God. Let it encourage us, Lord, to be more studious of your word. God, we're just going to praise you for it. We love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Give him a hand clap of praise for his word this morning. Thankful for the word of God. Thankful for the word of God. You can be seated. You could look at it like this. Without the Word, there would be no church. That's a fact. There could be gatherings, there could be groups, there could be people, but without the Word, we have seen miracles, signs, wonders, healings, all because it's declared in the eternal word of God. We have watched people come to repentance because it is in the word of God. People have been baptized in the name of the Lord because it's in the word of God. We've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. The Comforter came just like he said. It's his word. And when we see these things happening in the house of the Lord, or even in our lives as we live for him, you have to understand that it's happening because of God's word. These things are promises. They have been given unto us, exceeding and great precious promises in the scripture. The Lord, when he would bring Israel out of Egypt, he spent time to tell them, make sure that you talk about these words when you lay down. Make sure you talk about them when you rise up. Talk about them in your home. Talk about them to your children. Make sure that you're doing this. And he gave them these promises in his word that if they did the things that he said, they were going to be above only and not beneath. They would be the head and not the tail. And in one place he would say, and all these promises, these blessings will come upon, will overtake you. They'll come on you and just overtake you. And there's such a rich life but it was always according to his word, if they were obedient to the word. It's so different today because modern Christianity, once you try to say you need to obey the word of God, they automatically want to point the finger at you and say, you're trying to tell me I have to be saved by works. I don't have to do nothing but believe and I'm going to be saved. But what do you do after you believe? You know, the most miserable Christian that I know will be someone who says, I only believe, but they don't know anything else about the word. They choose to live in misery and say, but one day I'll just go to heaven. You know, but there is such a life to live for the Lord. And we live it by the word of God. Matthew 4:4, that is what the Lord said, that we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you've heard me teach this before because some people think, well, just being alive is enough. But when he said we live by every word, he didn't mean that you'll just naturally be alive, that you'll just be existing, that you'll just be breathing. But the word live means to live a life. There is a life that God wants us to live. You know, it's not that he wants us to live, you know, the Lord loves me just like I am, and now he wants me to just do my own thing, and I do my own thing, and God still loves me anyway. Well, yes, he still, you know, there's no denying that. He still loves, but you're deceiving yourself. Because if we are a hearer of the word and not a doer, if we're a hearer only, listen what that gives you faith. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So a lot of people, faith is birthed into their life. But when you only hear and don't do, that's where James was talking about when he said, faith without works, faith without doing is as good as dead. Like the body without a spirit, so is faith without works. It's dead. It's not alive. It can't do anything for you. It's there. It's hearing the word will give you this memory. You'll have word memory. You'll remember words, but there's no benefit to you for it because it's not mixed with works, the works of faith. Even the scripture says that the word preached unto them, it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. And so we need to make sure that we understand that God has a life. He wants us to live, and we live it by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. And when we come to this life with him, there's so much happening. We come to him and it's new and it's exciting. And maybe we don't get right away the importance. But one of the greatest words of advice that I ever received from a young minister in Brother Parks Church, I love this life. And I was like, what do I need to do? And I just got my first real Bible. You know, I had like a kid's Bible, you know, growing up, but this was like my first real black cover Bible with, you know, it smelled like a Bible, you know, when you open this brand new. And but he said, put your head in that book and don't ever take it out. He said, stay in that word, he said, and you'll never go wrong. And so I took that advice to heart, and I just began to read a lot of stuff. I didn't know what I was reading, but I would read sometimes I would sit and I would journal and write down as I would read, you know, trying to put down what I thought that said. And I would listen intently to the preaching of the word because I wanted to live this new life. The scripture says that we are raised up to walk in newness of life. And this is where we find ourselves. How can a young man cleanse his way? Only by taking heed to God's word. I lived unclean. I knew how to live unclean. I needed to know how to live clean. I needed to know how to live pleasing in God's sight. And just so you know, when I say that, I'm not saying that people that live by the word are always perfect and never make mistakes. You know, God sees that. You have to remember, God knows you're going to trip and fall. He knows that, but he says, if they know my word, they know that they don't have to stay down. They know they can get up. If they really love me, when they fall into repentance, and they confess their fault, and they get up, and they keep serving me. It's when people that don't know how good God's mercy and forgiveness and grace is, it's when they fall and they quit. They give up and they walk away. I can't do this. This life's not for me. Well, you can do it because you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength to do it. And so there's no really, and this sounds just real cut, but it is what it is. Really, there is no reason for anyone to ever quit this life. It is completely a self-choice to do so. The only time we can be expelled out of his presence is when we go against his word. Adam and Eve went against his word. They got put out of paradise. But did God forsake them? No. He didn't like it. But there were consequences to disobeying the word, but he still took care of them. He still gave them away. Adam was offering sacrifice to God, and they still worshiped God, and people descended from Adam and Eve, people that God loved. And God still loves people today, no matter what they're doing, but there's a life to live, and that life comes by the word of God. So the only way to cleanse my way is by taking heed to God's word. There is no other way. You can turn over a new leaf. Great. You can start some new workout habits. Change your diet. You can do all kinds of things to help your physical, fleshly life. And that's good. We ought to take care and be good stewards of the body that God has given us. And I say that, I feel hypocritical because I'll eat a Little Debbie like that. But a box of Little Debbie. I don't want to lie behind the pulpit. A box of Little Debbie's will go away quickly. They don't last in my house, and I'm the one doing the damage. But we should be good stewards of our time, of our life, and make sure we're doing that, because this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, forgive me and help me to be better. But I want to make sure that I know that if I'm going to live this, if I'm going to clean myself, if I'm going to really clean my life up, then it will be according to God's word. And it's not overnight. So don't start thinking like it. We are born again. We become newborns in the spirit. This spirit man is now a newborn, and we are babes in Christ sometimes and for a period, and we are learning and maturing. But that's the key. We need to be moving forward. We need to be taking steps. We don't need to stay in the crawling stage forever. We need to get up and walk and learn to walk and learn that, you know, we teach our children in the natural. When they fall down, we, you know, come on, get yourself up. We start teaching them. A lot of times when they're real little, we help them up. But as they get a little older, you know, come on, get up now. You're okay. Get up. And we comfort them. We let them know. They hear our voice. You're all right. And a lot of times, you know, they want to cry, but as soon as they hear you say, you're okay, you're okay, you know, they get up, dust their knees off, and then they keep going. And that's the way the word does for us. We fall sometimes, and he's going, just get up. Remember what I've told you. Remember what you've heard preached. Remember what you've read. Remember what how I think of you, how I love you. Remember my word. Let's get up and let's keep going. Because God ordered my steps. He orders my steps in his word. And so when I'm walking with him, he orders those steps, even though he knows I could fall. But the steps don't stop there. He's not just ordering my steps day by day. He's the beginning and the end. He's got my whole course planned out. Paul said, I finished a course. God had a course laid out. And if I fall on that course, the course doesn't evaporate. I can choose to not walk it any longer or to turn around and go back. Or I can get up and say, the course is still before me, and I can keep walking on this course. And so there's so much in here. I may not even get to this entire lesson today, but just in that one scripture, there's so much. Take heed to God's word. We must heed his word in our life. We cannot live for God without the word of God. There is no life to live without that word. The scripture says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God's word. It is more than owning a Bible. It is more than having a Bible app. It is taking heed to it, listening to it, understanding that there are promises and blessings, and there are warnings in his word. And those warnings are not meant to be hard and tough and cruel. They're simply meant to keep us in the way to go. The word of God keeps us safe on the path. We talk about walking on the straight and the narrow. What helps me stay? If you're walking on the straight path, on the narrow path, then you need to be paying attention. You know, if your road is very wide, you can just wander around. You'll probably never hit the edge. But when it's straight and narrow, let me tell you, we drove while we were in Europe, in England, and there was a road. I promise you, the road was as wide as that aisle, and it was 60 miles an hour on that road, and it was a two-way road. So you better pay attention. People don't think much about this word, but it keeps you between the lines. You know, out there on that blacktop, there's a center line, that center yellow line, and then there's that white line right there, and you want to stay between them. You say, oh, it ain't nothing but paint. But, you know, if you cross over it, you just say, well, it's just paint. You just keep going like that and let the law see you. And then you can say, you can tell that police officer, hey, but officer, it's just paint. But the law says you can't cross that line. And so that paint's got the law behind it. You hear what I'm saying? And when we get on the straight and narrow, it's just paper. It's just, but it's got his authority behind it. And so we want to make sure. You say, I step a little over here, step over here. You'll pay the consequence. And so I want to make sure. And not only that, if you cross that line this way, we've got people that know if you come across, if somebody comes across the line, it can be bad, can't it, Brother Jason? A few years ago, a guy came across the line and hit Brother Jason head on one morning. And it wasn't nothing but the hand of God kept him alive. And that other boy as well. Y'all know Brother Al, it was his son. It was so crazy that two people that were, we knew that happened, but thank God they both come out of it and was all right. But you see, you get over the line and something's going to hit you head on, or you get off this side and you're going to run off on ground that you can't get out of. And so we want to stay between the lines. We want to live out God's word. We don't want to just read it. I don't want to just have it for a decoration on my coffee table. I want to open it up. I want to crack that book. I don't want the pages sticking together. I want them well worn and used. I want to pick it up so many times that the gold lettering comes off the front of it. Man, I want to make sure that I'm reading this word and getting in this word. And that's what the next verse says: with my whole heart, I have sought you, and don't let me wander from your commandments. I've sought you, Lord, and I don't want to get out of your will, and I don't want to get out of your ways. And so let me stay. I want to keep your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart. The word hid means esteem. It doesn't mean just hide it away so nobody can see it. It's tucked into a place for safekeeping. It's protection. And the word means esteem. In other words, just like Job would say, I have esteemed the words of God's mouth more than the food I have to eat. And this is what the writer is saying. He said, I have esteemed this word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. It's very specific where he said he put it, not just in his mind, but in his heart. And not this thing that's beating in your chest, but that inner man, it's that soul. And he said, I've placed it in there so that I don't sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Let me learn something. With my lips I have declared. Talk about what you've learned, the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. He says, I value your word. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as anything else I have. Your word means as much to me than any dollar in my bank account, than any property I own, than any relationships I have. Your word is greater than all the riches that I could have. It's your word. And so I will meditate in your precepts, and I will have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Now, of course, sometimes we know we try to quote a scripture and we can't remember where it's at, and we can't remember the exact phrase of it. Sometimes he's not talking about just that memory. He's saying, I won't forget that I live by your word. I won't forget that I have a word. I won't, that I know there's a word there for me. I know that there's something I can read or hear or understand or learn right here in this book. There's something better. I want to live a life for God. I want to live the life He wants me to live, and I do that according to His word. The scripture says that the just shall live by faith. I mentioned this earlier. I thought I got a little ahead of myself, and faith comes from hearing Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. And every believer should know, needs to know as much about God's word as you can. Will you know all the mysteries of the scripture? No, you won't. And maybe you won't be able to quote chapter after chapter after chapter, but you should spend time in study. You should spend time in devotion. You should spend time looking into the scriptures, because in these scriptures is life, and in these scriptures is death. And I want to choose life. I want the life that God wants me to have. And because the scripture tells us what happens to those that will not obey the gospel. Well, the gospel comes from the preaching of the word. There is no gospel without this word. The word does, world doesn't know there's a gospel without the word of God. We've got to preach that word. We've got to do those things. And so we want to make sure that we are living by the word of God, because faith, no matter how great you may think it is worthless without works. We must, the just shall live a life, and they live by faith. If I'm living a life, I'm doing something. I'm not just hearing it, but I'm doing something with the life that God wants me to do. I am keeping His commandments. If you love Him, He said, this is the test. This is how I know if you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the scripture tells us in one place, His commandments are not grievous. His word is not grievous. It's not hard for us to keep the word of God. He didn't make it so hard that we couldn't live it. If it's in here, it's designed to bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's here to encourage us and to give us hope. It's here to comfort us and to feed us. It gives us new life. It brings us faith. The word is not a prison sentence. It is not something that is meant to hold us under God's thumb. We are not under God's thumb. We are in His hand. And that's a whole different thing right there. We're not under His thumb, but we are in His hand. And so to live, to live this new life, this life that God wants us to live, He raised us again, Romans 6, to walk in newness of life. I want to walk. If I walk by faith, then I walk by the word. That's scripture. And sis, I didn't give you this scripture, so you don't even have to worry about trying to put this up, but this just came to me while I was studying again this morning. Let's look at this walk for a second. Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, or from this time forward, you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What's the life of God? It's to live the life according to his word. He said, but they're alienated from that life through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They don't have it hid in their heart. They don't esteem his word in their heart. And they are walking in a way in the vanity of their own mind. They've decided this is the way the world walks today. They walk in the vanity of their own mind. You can show it to them in the Bible. You can show it to them in their Bible. And they'll still say, that's not what it means. But it means what it means. And we've got to stick with this word of God. And he says, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, put off the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in true in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we want from God. And that's the life that we get according to the word, because there is no way to get that clean life, to live that life, except we live it by the word of God. He wants us to have a living and working faith, functional and purposeful. We're not just here to take up time. We're not just here to check the box off, say, I went to church on Sunday, praise God. But I'm here because I want to hear. I'm here because I want to hear from the Lord. I want to hear from the Word of God. I want to get into His presence. I want to see somebody else come to Him. I want to see somebody else, the light come on inside of them. But that happens when all of us live the life according to the Word of God. Our faith. And sometimes you're going to live up to what you know. Don't stress yourself out thinking, I don't know as much as them, and I don't know much as them. You will live up to what you know. Even the Apostle Paul could not live past the word that he knew until Jesus gave him revelation. He lived the best he knew how, and he was in error. But Jesus gave him revelation and got him on the right path, and he was finally able to say, I am now ready to be offered. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith, and he walked that way after it was pointed out to him. But even he only lived as good as he was doing, as adamant as he was about keeping the law. He still needed to go further. And friend, that's the way you do. You live your life the best you can according to the word, and God will continually show you. He'll give you that light. He'll turn that lamp on. He'll give you illumination. He'll give you knowledge. He'll show you what you need to have. But that doesn't mean we have to wait until we get it all in here. Once I know everything, I'll do something. Go with what you know right now. Live that life right now, because you can live that life of faith right now. And so that's it. Our faith is meaningful. It makes a difference in our lives. And guess what? It affects lives around us. There's a story in Scripture. Jesus was in a man's house, and he's doing miracles and wonders, and the house was so full, they said, you couldn't even get to the door. And so four men took their sick friend. Why? Why would they take him? So they carried him, and they got up on the roof and started tearing the roof off so they could let him down to Jesus, because they wanted him to be healed. Why would they do that? Because of their faith. Because it says when Jesus saw their faith, he could see their faith. What did they believe? I don't know how much they knew about Jesus, but what they did know was Scripture. And they knew that the psalmist had written one place, the Word of God told them that God was the healer of all their diseases, and that when blinded eyes were opened and the lame began to leap, and all, he said, that's when your God was coming to save you. So they put two and two together. The Scripture says it's God that heals all our diseases, and here's a man in this house healing every manner of disease, and their faith caused him to pick this man up and tear off the roof and lower him down. And Jesus saw their working faith. They lived their life by faith. And that's, friend, when we will just live our life by faith. Friend, we help ourselves, we help others, we help the world. We become a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid, shining a light, glorifying our Father with good works. Friend, that's what we're doing. And the thing is so many people, I know what the Bible says. Well, a lot of people know what the Bible says, but they're faithless. Just because you can quote it, don't mean you live by it or believe it. But there are no people of great faith who know very little about the Bible. People that have great faith, they know the Scripture, but they know the author of the Scripture. And they believe in Him. They trust in Him. And as they increase, and as we increase in our knowledge of God's Word, our faith will grow also. There's, you know, people say, well, if I see a dead man raised up, boy, my faith would be high. Your emotion would be high. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word. I know a lot of people have seen miracles and walked off. Miracles, they can encourage you, excite you, fire you up. But miracles don't give you faith. The Word gives you faith. And I tell you, as many miracles as I have seen that encouraged me, all it did was reinforce the Word. I have had my faith lifted higher no other time than when I have just been reading and God showed me a revelation in His Word. And it because it let me know I was communicating with Him, that He was speaking or nudging me or showing me something, and I was learning something, and it was just letting me know how good God was. Man, I tell you, that's when you get those little, they used to call them, man, them little gold nuggets out of the Word of God. And you're reading, one day you just, I'm going to pop up and sit here and read for a minute, and all of a sudden it just smacks you. And you're like, oh. And you're thinking, man, how good God's Word is. Oh, how good the Word of God is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul would write to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. I don't need any other word. It's profitable. But he says it's profitable for doctrine. Our doctrine comes from the Scripture, not from letters and papers and things written by men in a room somewhere. Our doctrine comes from Scripture. It is good for doctrine, for reproof. It is good for correction and for instruction in righteousness. How can we know how to live righteous without God's Word? The instructions are there. I know sometimes we're smart enough to figure it out. We don't need instructions. We throw the instructions away sometimes. But this is one instruction manual you cannot throw out. You will not figure out how to fix yourself without the instruction manual. I've tried to put things together before. I looked at the picture. I said, oh, you can figure this out. It's like a puzzle. You put it together. How come I got some pieces left? Now I go back and look at the instructions and see where it went. And this Word, we'll try to fix it ourselves. And we realize, how come I still feel like just mess? Well, you know why? Because you missed something. The only way you can do it is taking heed according to His Word. And so, I should have just let Paul read it or tell it for me. He said, you do this that the man of God may be perfect, or in other words, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He did not give us this to just thoroughly furnish us with nothing. He said, or with accessories. He said, but you'll be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By what? By the Scripture, which brings faith. Faith without works is dead, but faith with works means you have been thoroughly furnished. Praise God. I want to be thoroughly furnished unto good works. And so this Word of God is inspired by God. It's given by inspiration. The Old Testament and the New. I don't like the Old Testament. I can't understand all those names and things and stuff. Well, there's a lot more in there than just those chapters of names. The Old Testament, we have to have it because that's where the prophets were. You're taking away part of your foundation. Would you stay away from the prophets? Because the Scripture says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles in the New Testament, prophets in the Old Testament, and of course they are still prophets in the New Testament area. Even in this age, they are prophets. But Peter said this word was not by the will of man, but they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we've got the New Testament, and we have the Gospels, and that tells us about the life of Jesus and the instructions that he was going to give to his disciples. And then we have the book of Acts, and that's how they carried it out. That's the way the church was born. It's where it was born. And it tells us about the plan of salvation. It tells us how they applied all the teachings of Jesus in their life. And then we get to the letters. When we come to Romans, and from there on, Paul is writing letters to the church, and that tells the church how to live. It's sad when sometimes people will take letters written to the church and try to convert somebody with information they're not even privy to yet. The letters, you read them to the beloved, to the church, to the brethren, to the saints. When you're talking to people that don't know God, you talk to them out of the Gospels and out of Acts. And then once they have come to that new birth, now they can start listening to what Paul and Peter and all these guys said, because those were the letters to the church, to those that were washed and sanctified and justified. And that's why there's so much confusion in this modern Christianity, because they just jump right in to the middle of Paul's letter and say, look, all I got to do is this, and I'll be saved. But you don't know what it means because you skipped the instructions. You've got to learn that there's a life to live, but we can only live it according to God's word. And when we say, I have hid it in my heart, it may not really help us to completely understand what that does. Well, what does that mean when I start esteeming God's word in my heart? Why is that so important? Because Proverbs chapter 4 tells me to keep my heart. Now, again, you ought to be heart conscious and eat right so that your heart don't stop on you. But he's not talking about this blood pumping organ right here that's in your chest. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you hide the word in your heart, and it helps you avoid issues in life. It helps you handle issues in life. It helps you overcome issues in life. Out of this heart are the issues of life. Hide the word in there so you can face the issues, overcome the issues, solve the issues. It's the issues that get people, because the word is the only cure for the issue. We've got to have it. We are going to do or to act or behave according to whatever we put in us. And if we put the word in us, we will behave according to the word. And so whatever enters in, or whoever we yield ourselves to, that's whose servant we become. And if I yield myself to the word, I become a servant of the word. Adam and Eve were servants of the word. Don't eat of this fruit. Don't touch that tree. And as long as they lived by that word, paradise was wonderful. But one day they let somebody else put a word in them. And when they received that word, you can hear all kinds of things without receiving it, but Eve received that word. And she put it above the word of God. And it cost her and Adam paradise. It sent them out. And that's why we have to be careful, because whatever is put into us by ourselves or by others, it will cause us to act or behave in that manner. Words accomplish. The Lord said, my word will accomplish anything I set it out to do. Words have power. And even the words of the as powerful as God's word is, if it spoke to me and I do nothing, it doesn't force me into anything. But when I receive it, what did they say on the day of Pentecost? And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And what happens is when we receive a word from somebody else, you got to be careful, because sometimes that word's a lie. It's a twist of scripture. It's untrue. And it's going out to accomplish something, and it's trying to. And if you receive it, it just very well might do it. That's why we have to understand that, run it through the filter. Run it through God's word. Run it through prayer. Ask for discernment on those things. Don't just take it to heart because somebody, well, I know them. Okay, so you know them. Doesn't mean they're telling you the right thing. Be careful what you listen to, because as it enters in, it can give you that negative faith. You don't want that. If we want to avoid tragedy and hopelessness in our life, then we can put things in us that facilitate our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being and growth. Put the right stuff in you. And so believers and saints, all of us that trust in God's word and that know what God's word says, esteem it, hide it in your heart so you can continue in this walk of life. I'm watching the clock. I've got about 3 minutes, so I'm going to try to finish up here. This is the story of the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's very selective about who he's letting counsel him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law does he meditate day and night. And that man shall now be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He is simply giving us the warning, telling us what we need to do. Music can go ahead and come this morning. It can go ahead and come. When I hide God's word in my heart, it means I have God in my heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When I hide the Word, I'm hiding that essence of God in my heart. We quote the scripture, greater is he that is in me, but is he there? Have I hid him there? Have I esteemed him there? Do I have him in my heart? It's hard to say greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world if he's not in there. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is not different. God is a spirit. These three are one. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. It's a guide to us. It leads us into all truth. His word is truth. His words are spirit. His words are life. How can I live a life that God wants me to live without the word? I can't do it. The effects of sin are destructive. They're far-reaching. But the word can keep us from that when we hide it in our heart. The enemy comes to do these things, steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I, who is the word made flesh, I, the word, have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. We've got to have the word. When I have the word hid in my heart, I can forgive. I can show mercy. I can be kind. I can have compassion. I can overcome. I can be born again. I can have new life. I can have answers. I can have wisdom. I can have understanding. When I have the word hid in my heart, I can learn how to please God and to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I can learn how to be better in relationships, marriage, parenting, a steward of finances, whatever, because it's in his word. His word pierced darkness. Lazarus, come forth. It conquered death. His word restored, made whole, brought forth. It loosed people. Peace be still. He calmed the storms by his word. Come out, his word. Rise up and walk, his word. Follow me, his word. Peter, after they had fished all night and taken nothing, Jesus said, cast the net on the other side. Let's see what happens. We fished all night. Nevertheless, that's your word. His word, instruction and provision. So to live out the life, you can stand with me this morning. To live out the life, we must live out the word. We must live out the word of God. Praise the Lord.